This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. Lisa Marie Presley died this month after suffering cardiac arrest at her home in Calabasas. The cause of her death has not been determined yet. The LA County Medical Examiner Coroner is still investigating. But Presley had a history of heart disease in her family. Her dad, Elvis, as well as her grandmother and grandfather reportedly had heart issues. And Lisa Marie's sudden death, she was just 54 years old, has more women, like this one, thinking about heart health. According to the CDC, heart disease is now the leading cause of death for women in the U.S., and typically more women die of heart attacks than men do. Here to tell us what's going on is Dr. Noelle Barry-Murs. She's the director of the Barbara Streisand Women's Heart Center in the Smith Heart Institute at Cedars-Sinai. Welcome back to Press Play.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Okay, well, let's define our terms because I think there's some confusion between the term heart attack and cardiac arrest. What's the difference?
Cardiac arrest is basically how we all die. The heart stops. But the causes of cardiac arrest, the most common cause is a heart attack in the United States, pretty much worldwide. So they're easily confused, but as you say, they're not the same.
And also there's heart failure. Is that different?
Heart failure is different. That's where the weak muscle is causing signs and symptoms, usually shortness of breath and fatigue. And that's usually pretty different from a heart attack. Heart attacks can lead to heart failure, and heart failure can lead to a cardiac arrest.
Okay, so there's also coronary artery disease. So is that the disease most associated with heart attacks?
Correct. And it is the leading killer along with, well, cardiovascular disease, but within that ischemic heart disease, which is often heart attacks, is our leading killer of women and men. But as you point out, more women will die of the heart attack. She did have a family history of that type of heart disease. So while we await more definitive answers, it's not unreasonable to think that, unfortunately, in a tragedy, she's a statistic of something that potentially could have been avoided with appropriate preventive care.
So when you say more women die, is that because they're being misdiagnosed?
It's probably a combination of not being diagnosed as promptly as we do men, and then also unique risk factors that we've studied extensively that do put women at higher risk. The smaller vessels are more often to be dysfunctional. They can get into more trouble with a smaller amount of plaque because their arteries are smaller. You know, there's a litany of contributions that are important that we understand sex and gender differences. And that's been a mission of the Barbara Streisand Women's Heart Center now for 30 years.
So these smaller arteries can collect plaque quicker. Is that what you're saying?
They can, the big arteries in the coronaries, the women can get into more trouble with a smaller amount of plaque because the smaller arteries that typically will not develop plaque, but they become dysfunctional. Think of these small vessels as kind of your fire trails. You know, when we have a fire in Southern California, you know, the folks open up the fire trails so we can all get out. And that's what the small vessels are. They're kind of your backup, and they bail you out when the big artery plugs up. And, you know, and if something doesn't happen promptly, you can die.
And explain what causes the plaque buildup.
So the plaque buildup is caused by, you know, traditional risk factors. Two of them we can't change, age and sex. But then high cholesterol, high blood pressure, elevated glucose, meaning diabetes, cigarette smoking, lack of physical activity and poor nutrition, you know, a high fat, fast food kind of nutritional regimen. These are the risk factors that I think pretty much everybody knows about. Mm-hmm. But in the modern world, it is hard to sort of avoid these things. The good news is now we really can see a heart attack 10, 20 years in advance, and with appropriate preventive changes, we can prevent these deaths.
10 to 20 years in advance? Is that through simple blood testing to see?
Right now, our best test, and it's not for everyone, speak with a healthcare provider, is a coronary artery calcium scan. Second best test is an ultrasound of your neck to see if there's plaque in your carotid arteries. And you can see very early plaque. And you can see when there isn't plaque, but in a patient who has a really strong family history, they might go on preventive therapy anyway. Because the transmissibility of this is really high. One out of four of us is going to die of heart disease in our lifetime. And it's much higher than breast cancer for women. So if people just kind of count on getting heart disease in their lifetime, we should all be taking preventive steps. It's the leading killer of people worldwide.
All right. So, but I think that when we get our checkups, we mainly just get a blood test to see how much cholesterol, good or bad, we're carrying around with us. Is that a reliable test to see if we're at risk of heart disease?
Well, what you do with those numbers in your annual check-in then is you go to one of our scores and it will give you a short-term 5 to 10 year risk and then a lifetime risk. And that's where the lifetime risk of cardiovascular disease for all of us is actually 40%. A quarter of us will die of that. And so that's the value of going in and having that annual checkup. For somebody like Lisa Marie, who had a very strong family history, if I had, been able to see her, or if a primary care physician or a nurse practitioner had taken that family history, these are the folks that we now can consider to do those screening tests and looking for plaque and deploying early preventive therapy with the goal of preventing these untoward deaths.
But if you're saying that 40% of us will develop some form of heart disease, that's a large swath of the population that would have a family history.
Absolutely. It's staggering. And well, family history, too, of what we'd call premature coronary disease. That's typically women before the age of 65 and men before the age of 55. These things, again, it's why you want to talk to a healthcare provider and not just go out and start screening yourself. Because we can give you some insight into what would be done. And also, there's a standard thing in medicine. Before you order a test, you should know what you're going to do with the results. You don't just order tests, especially CAT scans that have a small amount of radiation. So work with a healthcare provider and calculate those scores and then talk about your own personal concerns. And, the problem is we don't talk enough about this. Women continue to think that breast cancer is their leading healthcare threat. We haven't won the war, but we've won a lot of battles with breast cancer, and women now live prosperous lives once a diagnosis and treatment are deployed. So we have to do the same thing with heart disease, especially in women.
Right. Right. So you have told us that we need to watch our health. We need to eat right. We need to exercise, not smoke, all the standard health advice. But is there something in addition that women should be doing that they may not be?
Well, we have some pretty interesting research. So during their menstrual years, premenopausal women, if they're having a lot of skipped periods or even periods of time where they lose their period, that is starting to look like it could be a risk factor for future disease. We also have good data now about hormone replacement therapy for menopausal women. And menopausal women, women are menopausal at the age of 55. So these are not elderly women. But it's very clear that that does not prevent heart disease, and it actually has a black box warning around it. If a woman already has a cardiovascular condition, should not take hormone replacement therapy. And then, there's a laundry list of things that are not as common. Women have something called a long QT syndrome that's on an electrocardiogram. And again, if there's a family history of sudden death or cardiac arrest, the physician would be ordering these EKGs more often. It's not common, but it is more prevalent in women, things like that.
Okay, so if you are perhaps experiencing a cardiac event, what are the symptoms and how do they differ from the symptoms men encounter?
Yeah, so 2/3 of men will have what, you know, we would describe as the Hollywood heart attack, you know, clutching their chest. It's chest pain, chest pressure. 2/3 of men. That's about 1/3 of women. That's how women present. So it's not to be ignored. 1/3 of heart attacks is a large number. But 2/3 of women are also going to say they think it was indigestion. They think it's their stomach. They may dismiss it. They're overwhelmingly fatigued. They're having, you know, cold sweats. They think it's a hot flash. They may or may not have chest pressure or chest pain, but they might have jaw pain or arm pain. Now, again, remember, 1/3 of men have these less Hollywood heart attack symptoms as well. So this is another initiative of our American College of Cardiology. We just recently published our chest pain guidelines, and we're coming out with renewed interest in what do heart attacks look like in women and men as public health campaigns. A simple adage is, you know, anything above the belly button that is not common for you. I mean, if you go and eat 2 Dodger dogs and you always get reflux, you know, gastroesophageal heartburn, I don't want to hear about it at 2 a.m. But if you're having something that's unusual for you, you don't typically have heartburn and you think it's heartburn and somebody's telling you to just, you know, take some heartburn meds, no, call a healthcare provider. Get some professional advisement because it could be a heart attack.
Wow. I think a lot of women think, I don't want to bother people. This is probably just a pulled muscle from working out, or maybe I did eat something that didn't agree with me and we'll maybe just shunt it aside.
Absolutely. And as we know, as women, you know, the children come first, the husband is second, the dog is third, her health is way down there, right? You know, I have patient stories of they had to empty the dishwasher before coming in.
Wow.
They had to make sure the dry cleaning had been picked up. And you're just like, what is, you know, come on. So this kind of awareness is really important.
All right. Well, it has been very informative and helpful to have you on. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your attention to this really important matter. I appreciate that a lot. I'll look forward to listening to this.
My pleasure. Dr. Noelle Barry-Murs, director of the Barbara Streisand Women's Heart Center. That's in the Schmidt Heart Institute at Cedars-Sinai. We'll have your weekend film reviews, including a drama about a Holocaust denier living in a Jewish family's basement.
It's kind of about what happens when French people become American-style vigilantes taking care of business, you know, on their own.
Alonzo Duralde and Dave White are here next on Press Play.